Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Wow, what a great week. Brad and I are on location today. Brad, where are we at?
We are on a lake on the Becker-Minomet County border in northwestern Minnesota. It's a beautiful part of the state, part of Minnesota. A lot of lakes here, a lot of trees, a lot of variety. And we've just been experiencing a couple of new bodies of water, which is always a lot of fun. And adding to the treat is the fact we're doing it with Mr. Dave Gens, Mr. Ice Fishing. I mean, if you look at any one person that's probably done more to change the sport of ice fishing over the years, it's got to be Dave. And I've, you know, had the good fortune of fishing with Dave a number of times over the years, I guess dating back to the early 90s. He talked me into buying a Bexilar the first time. In fact, he didn't talk me into it. I borrowed it, and I got back to Grand Forks and went out and bought one the very next day. Have not been without one since. So a little bit of history there, and like I say, it's always fun to get out and fish new bodies of water, and especially to get together with Dave and some other friends up here at the same time.
Absolutely. And since I know this is interview part of this show is going to get pretty in-depth, I'm going to talk about our sponsors now before I get all excited and forget at the end of the show.
Take care of business.
First thing, got to remind everybody, Why Fish is always brought to you by Today's Tackle, home of the Ice Buster Bobber, the Rod Rocker 2, and many other great products. Check them out on the web, todaystackle.com. Also, we can't forget Stu and the boys up at Cats on the Red. They're coming in with something
that was the
great.
First that just kicked in, by the way. Wasn't
the
car
jumped
bomb.
About 3 feet. Anyway, back to Cats on the Red. They're experiencing some wonderful walleye action. But if you can't get up there in the next week and a half, I guess you're out of luck with those guys. But, hey, great catfishing just around the corner. Check them out on the web. As always, catsonthered.net and the phone number.
That'd be area code 204-757-9876. I think I maybe call up there once in a while.
Yeah, we've covered that one before, too. And last but not least, Trophy Cat Adventures out of Grand Forks, a guide service on the Red River. And this is the part of the show where I remind you to sign up for our contest to have an 8-hour guided trip with Kent at Trophy Cat Adventures out on the good old Red River of the North at Grand Forks. All you got to do is send us an email, contest@whyfishradio.com. There's only about 5 weeks left before we make the drawing, and there's getting to be a lot of competition, so keep them coming, folks.
Well, and if you like to fish, it should be kind of a no-brainer. Just sign up for that contest. All you need to do is get yourself up to Grand Forks. Kent will take care of the rest, and as anyone who's ever fished with him will attest, you'll have a good time. The contest winner last year found that out for himself. It's just an awesome day on the river.
And one other thing I suppose I should mention, since doesn't happen very often, is for those of you who listen to the show early and are in the Grand Forks area, I'm going to be doing a catfish seminar Wednesday night, the 22nd, at 7 o'clock at the Holiday Inn in Grand Forks. We're going to start right from the beginning, from going to the tackle and bait store and picking out your gear and bait and everything, to right down to locations and how to catch those big whiskered critters. Anyway, now's the highlight of the show. Mr. Dave Gens.
I'm going to turn over the reins, give Dave the microphone here, Brad, and you guys can talk fishing, and I'll just sit back and enjoy. Dave, welcome to Why Fish Radio.
Well, thanks, Brads. You know, I guess I can't screw up the names anyway with both of you having the same name here, but, you know, it's always a pleasure to be with you guys. You are outdoors people, so, you know, you have a good show because you go out and experience it, and that's what we guess we've been doing the last couple of days, is experiencing the outdoors. Fishing hasn't been the greatest, but it's still fun and exciting to go to new water.
Well, the new water part is really fun, and, you know, just hanging out and trying to pick up a few tips is always fun. But, you know, something we did run into that we talked about a little yesterday is oxygen levels, and that's kind of where I want to go this year, because you made a comment this morning on the way out saying that, you know, winter's lagging all of a sudden and the best is yet to come, and that's kind of what I want to talk to you about this week on the show. And yesterday you were making mention to the oxygen-starved fish. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, our shallower lakes, anywhere, you know, it could be in North Dakota, it could be ponds in North Dakota. This time of the year, they're covered with snow. Sunlight can't get through. The weeds are dead, brown and down, as we call them. And the weeds are actually using up the oxygen, and it depletes from the bottom. and the fish keep coming up higher in the water column. Like the lake we fished yesterday, you know, the fish were down 5 feet. It didn't make any difference how deep the water was. And this time of the year, they're, you know, they're not eating. They're just trying to survive is what they're trying to do, trying to breathe. I'm sure if we were have struggled breathing, we wouldn't want to eat much neither.
So when this, I guess, system that we're running into right now, waiting for some warmer weather, where are we typically going to find the fish at this point?
Well, you know, some of the areas where the creeks are coming in, where you get some fresh water flowing into the creeks or into the lakes. You know, the deeper water, you know, if it's a deep water lake, generally that lake's not going to have the oxygen problems as much as a shallow water lake. So, you know, we need to fish in the deeper water. But soon to come, them fish are going to come shallow, and you know, that's the best time of the year for ice fishing.
And you were making mention to the snow melt and kind of what happens there to really get that oxygen flowing again, and kind of explain how that that all takes place and what happens when it does.
Well, the you know, the sun's going to get up higher in the sky and get some nice days, and all the snow is going to turn to water on top of the ice. And, it you know, it's all almost looks like a lake on top of the lake, on top of the ice. You see vehicles out there then, and they're splashing through the water, or snowmobiles or ATVs. And all of a sudden, that the ice is gone. The water is gone. It runs through the ice. And when that happens, it obviously oxygenates the lake. But the ice actually starts to float. And it'll actually raise, you know, a couple inches because all this water went through the ice. And all the weeds that are frozen into the ice, actually the roots get pulling out of the bottom. And that's what gets all the bugs and all that stuff going. So that's them fish now can go shallow and feed on all these things where they couldn't go. So that's why the fish head for the shallow water.
So that's when you pull out the smaller tackle and get ready to hang onto the rod, huh?
Yes. You know, well, even the big fish go shallow. You know, the walleyes are in shallow and the pike are in shallow because they're coming in to spawn. But the panfish, they're just coming in to eat. And, you know, you start looking for weed flats then. You know, you look at your lake map and you look for contour lines between, you know, the 5 and 10 foot one is usually a pretty good rule of thumb in late season, and find wide spots between them. And that's where you want to go start drilling holes on these flats. And you'll sometimes find areas where there's new weed growth, where the stuff is actually starting to grow up off the bottom already. It can be, you know, 3, 4, 8, you know, I've seen it a couple feet high and by the end of March. And them new weed beds are just going to hold lots of fish.
And now when you're coming out in this later part, you know, the water has come through, the ice is now floating, which means it's broken away from the shorelines. Talk a little bit about getting on and off the ice and then safety factors once you're coming and going and out there.
Well, because of the angle of the sun, the north shores of the lake are the first ones that melt away from the shore. You know, especially if you have an access on the north end of the lake that we probably used throughout the winter because the snow is not so deep on that one. Well, you're on the north shore of the lake where the cars drive on. The salt will fall off the vehicles there, so they're the first place to go. You can go out to the south side of the lake, and usually there's still snow along the shore. So if you're going to fish new lakes that time of the year, check the map out, and if the access is on the south and the west side of the lake, more than likely the ice will still be frozen at the bottom there, so you can drive right out onto the lake. And the north shore, you stop by them axes, and you almost need a boat.
And then, obviously, you're dealing possibly with a little open water there between and some ice that could be getting a little rotten. Safety,
you know,
factors.
Yeah, one of the most important things to do in ice fishing that time of year is wear your life jacket. Get it out of the boat and put it on. You know, I like the inflatable ones myself because you don't even know you have it on. And if you did fall through the ice, you know, you would be floating out there, so you have plenty of time to get out of the ice. I've never heard of anyone found frozen in the ice with their life jacket on. And then some of these ice picks, they call them, a little thing you wear around your neck, and in case you would fall through, you can spear the ice and pull yourself out because your fingernails get, you know, kind of hard. But with a life jacket on, not that I've experienced this, but, you know, I've watched the fire department with doing the safety things is you can roll then and roll back up on top of the ice. But, you know, use some common sense and don't get yourself in that kind of trouble, but wear a life jacket in case you do.
Well, we actually, earlier in the winter, because it took forever to actually get some decent ice, we talked a lot about the ice picks and the life jackets. And, you know, that, again, at the end, don't forget to take those with. But, you know, going back to what I said when you first came on, Dave, this is a quote from you yesterday. The best is yet to come. And I believe, spending the last day or so with you, that you truly believe that.
Oh, no question about it. These fish are going to really start to feed now. Water temperature is going to start to rise. It's amazing how sometimes these fish will be right up underneath the ice during the daytime hours. Because of my Aqua underwater camera and the temperature gauge on it, I've learned that during the daytime hours in end of March, first part of April here, the water temperature right under the ice will get up to 41, 42 degrees. That's the warmest water that's around then, and then fish will be right under the ice. Then as soon as the sun starts going down, that water temperature cools back down again, and they'll go back towards the bottom. But, you know, don't be afraid to fish inches under the ice. And another thing that happens, why the fish are up there feeding, is we talked about that the roots have pulled out of the bottom, and these bugs all want to hatch and swim to the surface. Well, they can't. There's ice there. So they're stuck underneath the bottom of the ice, so them fish are up there feeding on them.
Never thought of that one. Talk a little bit about kind of the water column, since you brought that up. A lot of people are convinced that fish are on the bottom, bring them up off the bottom. And that's not true. There's always the suspended fish. You're saying they'll come right up to the bottom of the ice.
Yeah, that's right. There's, you know, you want to fish the entire water column. That's what's nice about running your Vexilar all the time, because you see the entire water column on the scope right in front of you. So, you know, you see what level your hook is at, and if there's, you know, anything down there, you know, you can see it on there. There'll be a mark, a red line, a burn is another thing that we call it, and you just simply line the lines up. This one's your hook, this one's the fish, and now you start working that fish. And many times, if there's a bunch of fish down there, the highest one up is the easiest one to catch. You know, if there's a school at, you know, 3 feet off the bottom, fish 4 feet off the bottom and get them to rise up out of the pack. But still, mobility is a key. What any time of the year, when you catch a bunch of fish in a hole and you still got them down there and they get harder to catch, a lot of people downsize and do a lot of different things to try catching them. Over the years, I've discovered it's just easier to go drill a new hole and fish for biters instead of sniffers.
And I will say, we drilled an awful lot of holes this morning, but we were moving. We weren't sitting very, very still very long.
No, we were looking for them, and, you know, we didn't run across them too often. We had a couple holes that, you know, that had some fish in them. In fact, you know, we're sitting here while they're getting cleaned at the table as we sit, so we're going to have some fish and eggs for breakfast here real soon.
Absolutely. Dave, once again, I have to thank you for coming on, being our return guest here at Why Fish. Always a pleasure. You always bring a great insight and great tips to all of our listeners, and I hope our listeners enjoy it as much as we do. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.